So the chant that we listened to earlier, Achat Sha'alti, invites us to rest in being, to rest in the space of the divine. And this month is a lot about reconnecting to the divine and to our deepest parts. So I thought that it would be good to do a review of the month of Elul and what Elul brings to our lives. So today is the 10th of Elul, and we have 20 days until the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And even though this period of time can become difficult, I always loved it because it gave me permission to actually reflect and contemplate and slow down. And it gives me permission, or all of us permission, for a time for introspection, a time for a cheshbon ha-nefesh, a time for taking stock of oneself. And we take stock of our actions. And as Thich Nhat Hanh of blessed memory said, "My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand." So today we reflect, or this month we reflect on our actions of the past year, as well as our hopes and aspirations for the coming new year. And another thing that I particularly love about this month is listening to the shofar every morning of Elul, something that we don't do. I mean, this is something really special for the high holidays. So Elul is like a key to unlocking that inner and most potent meaning of the heart. And the shofar is what aids us in reaching the depths when we listen to the shofar blowing during Elul. So I actually have a sample, and we're going to listen to the shofar right now. Yeah, I love listening to that in the morning. So the Baal Shem Tov says, "In the palace of the king, there were many chambers, and each one needs a different key. There is one key, one instrument, however, which can open all the doors, the axe. The shofar is an axe. When a person passionately breaks his heart before the Almighty, he can smash any gate in the palace of the King of Kings." And this teaching the Baal Shem Tov is teaching that the shofar is an emotional, intuitive way of gaining access to the deepest recesses of our heart, of divine experiential knowledge. Its blasts, this wordless sound, speaks to the heart in a way all of the greatest words and insights cannot approach. Zornberg says the shofar is a call for transcendence. It evokes an irrational world of non-linear time, of surmounting the unyielding accountability in order to reach an even higher truth, an affirmative one of chesed, loving kindness. The call of the shofar is the call to tshuva, to return, a return to spiritual intimacy, Just like the lyrics of the song, return again, return to the land of your soul. In reference to the land of your soul, Rabbi Jonathan Slater, this is a quote from Rabbi Jonathan Slater, God is the source of everything. In the mystical sense, the deepest recesses of the deepest awareness of the divine is that part of God that is constantly giving life in every moment and in every way. Like our breathing, we don't control our breathing, we are breathed. And as the song goes on to say, return to who you are, return to what you are, return to where you are, born and reborn again. We return mindfully as we embrace ourselves. We ask for forgiveness from those we've hurt. And in asking for forgiveness, we face our own brokenness and the pain that we've caused others. And we give our brokenness love rather than cast it aside and reject it. We break our hearts open, both in asking for forgiveness and being forgiven. The pain we've caused is brought into light, not hidden in darkness. It's experienced in light, and being brought into light allows for the possibility of that pain to be transformed into compassion and understanding. When we bring compassion to any situation, our hearts soften. As the Dalai Lama says, love and compassion are necessities. Without them, humanity cannot survive. So we return with an open and loving heart, a lev tahor, a pure heart. And we return again and again. Rabbi James Jacobson Meisel says that we do this work through love and compassion and a desire to heal and transform, to recognize our own belovedness and to use that as an engine to power our love and care for others. And Rabbi Alan Liu of blessed memory, in his book, This Is Real and You Are Completely Unprepared, teaches us tshuva begins with a turn away from the external and toward the inner realm of the heart. We affect this turn in many ways. If we are not used to solitude or contemplation, if we are normally consumed by a frantic round of activity, then simply stopping can suddenly leave us in confrontation with the contents of our heart. Often, all that's required of us is to be still for a moment, and the heart begins to disclose itself to us of its own accord. I'm sure that many of us during some of our sits have experienced this, where the heart opens up and all of a sudden you well up in tears because something has like been brought into awareness that you're not normally aware of as you're walking through everyday life. So the stillness and silence of our meditation helps us connect with our heart. And the five letters of the word tshuva stand for the five paths of tshuva. Tav, tamin, be sincere with your God, stands for sincerity. Shin, shviti, I have set God before me always, a humble awareness of the divine. Vav, viahavta, love your fellow as yourself, represents love. Bet, behold, in all your ways know God, recognizing the divine providence. He, chatzei lechet, walk discreetly with your God, discretion and modesty. True teshuva not only repairs but transforms the past. And this was taken from A Spiritual Guide to the High Holidays by Rabbi Simon Jacobson. So tshuva is something more than the accounting of rights and wrongs in a person's life. Tshuva is the expression of the world's existential yearning to come closer to the divine, to the source of life. Rabbi David Lerner of blessed memory says tshuva is a return to God and to our deepest self. And as we recite the 13 attributes, these attributes that exemplify compassion and forgiveness, and that are our central theme throughout the month of Elul and the High Holidays, we call out, we pray that the divine will bestow upon us these attributes. And perhaps we can imagine ourselves acting in the world with these attributes. I mean, the world really needs these attributes, especially today with what's going on in the world. And the Torah tells us in Exodus 34:6, when God meets Moses on the mountain, God places him in a cleft and says, I will show you my glory, but you cannot see my face. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, benevolent God, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, preserving loving kindness for thousands, forgiving inequity, rebellion, and sin, and he pardons. So as we're made in God's image, we have the innate possibility to enliven these qualities within us and to live within these attributes. Rabbi Alan Liu's book, This Is Real and You Are Completely Unprepared, describes the spiritual path of Elul to the end of the high holiday season. He says, on this journey, our soul will awaken to itself. We will venture from innocence to sin and back to innocence again. This is a journey from denial to awareness, from self-deception. Sorry, this is a journey from denial to awareness, from self-deception to judgment. We will learn our divine name. We will move from self-hatred to self-forgiveness, from anger to healing, from hard-heartedness to broken-heartedness. This is the journey the soul takes to transform itself and to evolve, the journey from boredom and staleness, from deadness to renewal. It is on the course of this journey that we confront our shadow and come to embrace it, that we come to know our deepest desires and catch a glimpse of where they come from, that we express the paradoxical miracle of our own being and the infinite power of simply being present, simply being aware who we are, simply being who we are. It is the journey from little mind to big mind, from confinement in the ego to a sense of ourselves as part of something larger. It is the journey from isolation to a sense of our intimate connection to all being. This is the journey on which we discover ourselves to be part of the inevitable chain of circumstances, the journey beyond death, the journey home. And aside from seeing ourselves and being aware of all the things that have happened in the past year and confronting our brokenness, we also need awe. As Alan Marinus writes in his book, Every Day Holy, 365 Days of Teachings and Practices from the Jewish Tradition of Musar, he says, awe is a human experience of transcendent, piercing, apparent reality, a glimpse of the supreme within the mundane. However it may come to us, a moment of awe gives us a small taste of the cosmic mystery and an intuitive intimation of the divine. Awe does not protest phenomenal reality. Rather, it directs affirmation of the eternal that lies within the worldly. Awe is an invitation to seek, delivered directly to the heart. So, some questions to ponder. What does return mean to you at this moment in time? How would you like to return in regards to your relationships with others? How would you like to return in relationship to yourself? How would you like to return in regards to your relationship with the divine? How do you envision your meditation practice helping you with tshuva? So let's take a moment of silence and then we'll open it up for discussion.